Joe Elliott of Def Leppard has just called.
Oh, yeah, really, yeah.
And let's see here. I'm Red Noise, by golly. That's who I am. Opens now.
Welcome into the Kilo Vault podcast. My name is Sid Black from the Rock Station, 94.3 Kilo. I was lucky enough to have the guys at Drowning Pool in the Kilo studio ahead of a show here in town. Kind of had the idea. I just didn't, in most cases, we give bands 20, 30 minutes, play a couple tracks of theirs when they have them come to the studio. Drowning Pool has such a legacy behind them. I mean, some fortunate, some unfortunate. I mean, just such a story behind this band, Drowning Pool. And I kind of wanted to capture that. So my thought was I'll give them a full hour. We'll pull a track off each record, and we'll talk about that time frame of the band leading up to their current stuff with current frontman Jason Moreno and their latest record, Strike a Nerve. So sit back, relax. Take it all in. It is my conversation with Drowning Pool, where we do our best to stay on the same page and cover it all from the Kilo Vault and Kilo's Vault Podcast.
94.3 Kilo, Drowning Pool, and Sinner. And it's the song that started it all, so I guess it's a fitting song to kick off this hour-long Drowning Pool takeover. Yes, boys?
Hey, what's up?
Stevie, CJ, Jason, welcome back.
It's been a bit.
It's been a little while since we've taken over Kilo Studio. Back in town, Sunshine Studios live show tonight. It's show one of this half of this tour, right?
Yeah.
Right. So if we mess up, you know, you got a kind ear. You know, if you drink a lot, we'll sound better.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
I kind of said that earlier. I was like, it's, fans out in the crowd don't notice, but I'm sure like show one is just kind of like anything that's going to go wrong, probably going to go wrong show one. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we have this thing. Where if anybody, in the three of us, any of us mess up, we just turn around and look real mad at the drummer, and everyone in the crowd thinks he's the one that messed up.
He's the one.
Like, what'd you do back there? What are you doing?
He's got so much to hide behind.
Yeah, I tell him after the show if I did that, he gets so mad.
I mean, drummers can't hear much back there anyways, right? And they're normally deaf as is.
Yeah, he doesn't
just
know.
By nature.
Well,
welcome back.
Right,
yeah, welcome back to town. Of course, you guys are coming back with Otherwise, another big band that's been coming through town for many, many years. And then some youngers, too, Anti-Saint. Love the guys of Anti-Saint out of Denver. Great to have them part of the show in Tala as well, which everyone's going to get out and see this band. Have you guys seen them yet? Tala?
Not in person.
Oh, they're awesome. Band out of Arizona. So great package here tonight at the Sunshine Studios Live. We're going to cover that a couple times over throughout the hour. But we got them. We got the guys at Drowning Pool sitting in. And let's go ahead and just keep the tunes rolling. I think this would be safe to say one of your biggest songs of all time. That would be Bodies. Yeah. Hasn't done too bad for you guys.
Right. It's all right.
How many times do you think you've played that song? Could you play it in your sleep?
Yeah.
Is it muscle memory at this point?
Oh, yeah. We could probably do a reunion tour in 30 years and still pull it off with no rehearsal.
I'm not sure. I was in a lot of covers of it from bands. I heard it last night, and I was like, is that our version or somebody else's version?
Yeah.
That's been, it's been awesome. It's a lot of fun versions.
Wild. A cappella. Can you guys pull it off a cappella?
How about a mandolin? That was fun, just for fun.
At this point, I think anyone's probably touched it and done a different version of it. Let's go ahead and get to a Drowning Pool Bodies, courtesy of your concert authority, 94.3 Kilo.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies go.
Drowning Pool and Bodies, you guys can, they're going to hear that one tonight.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, at least once.
Right, at least once. Might cue it up twice.
Yeah. Sometimes you listen to your song, you play it two, three times in a row.
Yeah. Has it ever been that when like the crowd's like, one more song, and you just come out and play the same song you just played
that's
before?
That's a great idea.
We have to play Bodies.
Just get Bodies twice?
We did.
You have before?
We've done it?
Yeah.
We played it three times in one set. Yeah. It was for the troops, and some of the troops were...
Oh, okay.
It was overseas doing USO stuff, so sure. Some of the troops came in early and had to leave, and then other ones came in towards the end of the show, so we figured we played at the beginning and at the end.
Okay.
But they were going so nuts at the end that we just like...
Keep it going. You got to keep it on repeat almost at that point. CJ, Stevie, and Jason, thank you from Drowning Pool coming in here this afternoon. Good to have you guys back in town.
Oh, yeah.
Excited for the tour to kick off here. Colorado Springs has been a big market for you guys coming up. And really was Sinner. I mean, I remember we were just talking earlier how I think the first time I ever heard Bodies was on this very radio station. Kilo back in the day when I was a kid, long before I ever thought getting a job here was possible. But, I mean, what a time for you guys as a band to kind of come in because... MTV was big. That's obviously kind of fallen to the wayside. You know, even just shortly after that, kind of fell to the wayside. Radio was big. I mean, people are making money in this industry. You guys kind of hit a tailwind where you're some on these Ozfest tours, bigger tours. kind of talk of that time, kind of coming up and jumping into that.
Yeah, we kind of hit everything at once.
Yeah.
We had Ozfest. We had
shot out of a cannon, day, weren't you? I mean, really,
yeah.
You were,
yeah,
from the go.
Yeah, 0 to 1,000 in just a matter of weeks, man. You know, it was pretty amazing. It was awesome. Yeah, just to go.
Yeah, in like the span of maybe probably under a year, we went from playing bars in Dallas for beer money to Ozfest to, you know, coming up to Kilo and hanging out and partying, man.
I remember catching you guys. It was Ozfest 2001. It was Mile High. I think it was the original Mile High before they kicked the one off. I think that was one of the last shows in that stadium before they ended up blowing it up.
Yeah, that was the show with all the protesters, right?
Yeah. Marilyn Manson protesters. Yeah.
I remember
getting
that one.
Yelled at by a group of very nice Christian gentlemen that if I enter this show, you're going to hell. Like, I mean, to tell that to a 17-year-old kid, it's like,
devil's
music. Who the hell are you, man? Yeah, what about those kind of tours and that kind of thing? I remember meeting Dave that day as well, walking up in the concourse, and he was just kind of kicking around, hanging out, and it was great to meet him. And but, I mean, just talk about a stamp of time in rock and roll music. I mean, you don't get much bigger. I think that year was at Sabbath Ozzy, right?
Sabbath
was with Ozzy that year. I mean, Black Label, Society, Papa Roach, Linkin Park. I mean, bands that have just kind of come and had these legacies. You guys part of that as well. Pretty special. And to keep going after, do you guys look back at those times and just be like, man, that happened? I mean, you talk about like Pantera too. I mean, you guys were in tight with the Pantera dudes. I mean, it's got to kind
of,
when you sit back and think like, holy crap, this all happened.
Yeah, it was wild, man. You know, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on during those times that we can't talk about now.
You will
one
day.
But man, you know, just let your imagination run wild. And it was probably going down on somebody's bus on Ozfest at that time.
Yeah. We used to keep a bay on the bus full of fireworks for a few years back then.
Just a bay of fireworks in the bus?
I met some people from, where was that strip club we were shooting fireworks? We played at the Orbit Room.
Yeah, that was in Grand Rapids.
And I met some people a few days ago that were at that show years ago.
Yeah.
They remember us blowing, shooting fireworks over at the strip club.
Yeah, how could you forget something like that?
Well,
you know what I mean?
That Ozfest tour, you know, Bodies was blowing up and everything, but as far as getting paid for things like that, you know, it's a long time behind. So even though Bodies was huge, we were all still broke.
Yeah.
So the tour was sponsored by Jaeger and Yoo-Hoo. So that's all we had on our bus. Yeah. So that's when I think of that summer, that's all I think about is we would do shots of Jaeger mixed with Yoo-Hoo.
Sounds like the worst barf ever.
Oh, it was disgusting, but man.
That's all we had.
It's all we had, so we loved it.
You know, and then, you know, you have the passing of Dave, which has just got to be an immediate halt. Stop. Yeah. I mean, talk about just going 2,000 miles an hour. You stop. Yeah. Done. Yeah. And things are just, I mean, you guys got to stop and think to yourselves, is this going to continue on? I mean, that thought had to kind of hit you, yeah?
Yeah, that was dark times. Mike, Steve, and myself, we've been, you know, rocking out for a few years before we even, you know, had Dave in the band. So, you know, we regrouped, kept it going. You know, it was hard trying out different singers.
Yeah.
You know, we had Jason Gong Jones for a minute, and then he had a great voice. But you know, it's just being on tour and living with somebody is a different.
That gel,
you know,
completely different.
So it didn't. Obviously, that didn't work out.
Yeah, those were the dark times, man.
Sure,
they definitely were. We
of course.
After Dave passed, we all went back to Dallas, and we got this this big like loft apartment thing that we all lived in, and pretty much just drank ourselves into a stupor for
trying to figure it out
for a good 6 months.
Man, and,
you know, it was it was weird to be. Just so surreal because here we are just so depressed and bummed. And then every day the phone's blowing up, you know, managers and labels trying to call you, man, you guys got to get back on it. You know, you got to get a new guy. And we're just like,
no time to be human.
It was a tough time because on one hand, you know, you got this pressure from the music business to do it. And the other hand, you feel guilty about doing it.
Of course.
So we were just so torn for so long.
Here with CJ, Stevie Jason of Drowning Pool. Let's get into this desensitized record. It is Step Up, courtesy of your Concert Connection, 94.3 Kilo. Drowning Pool and Step Up, Desensitized. That very much got the CJ, Stevie, and Jason of Drowning Pool in Kilo Studio. Sophomore record with such a hill to climb. Like, that had to almost feel like such a task to get that record up going. But not only that, then get back out on the road. After such a loss, I mean, such a rapid rise to fame with Sinner and everything you guys got to do behind that. Obviously, no one wants to go into a sophomore record, which I'm sure is hard for a band anyways. It had a lot of attention thrown their way. But everything that was on the back end of that with Dave's passing, just talk about a hill you had to climb to kind of get that going again, yeah?
Yeah, we did that, recorded that with Johnny K in Chicago, nice. Which was January, February, March.
The worst time to record in Chicago?
Yeah, just, I never left the studio. It was too freaking cold.
Oh, man. I bet.
So we were locked in and focused on it, you know.
Yeah.
Put a lot of work into that. Again, you know, kind of a hazy, dark time because the few drinks were flying. You and Jaeger were still hanging out.
Yeah, the hardest thing was, you know, going on stage with a new singer and feeling out that whole process, you know, because we probably could not have found, you know, we didn't want to, when we did the next record, we didn't want to feel like we were copying Dave and that we were just trying to get a Dave clone.
Absolutely.
So we pretty much ended with someone who was the exact polar opposite. And, you know, in retrospect, I don't know if that was the greatest idea either.
Right.
But we didn't want to step on his toes, so that's the direction we went. And I tell you, it was hard to get used to playing shows.
I bet.
With someone new because it was just so different.
It's like you said, too, you're almost hurried, too. It's like everyone's waiting on you on the business side. Like, hey, guys, come on. Let's get going here. I mean, this industry, we all kind of know. You know, it can be cold at times, man. And especially that era, that time when money was being made almost, you know, hand over foot when it came to record sales. You know what I mean? Like, it's something anymore that's, you know, almost archaic at this point, which sucks. But, I mean, you guys were getting that pressure, that back-end pressure. Like, let's get going. Come on. Let's go. What decisions could you have made, really?
Right, and they were rushing us because Step Up was going to be in the Punisher movie.
Yeah.
So there was a timeline there. So they were pushing that along so they could get it out to coincide with the movie. So, yeah, there was a lot of...
Once you got back on the road and got back in it, did it feel right? Was it like, okay, yeah, we're back to this now?
I mean...
Not really, man. It was tough with Gong, you know. Yeah. You know, and we probably weren't the nicest guys to him either.
Just not because, a perfect situation.
You know, I think, you know, subconscious, even though we tried to make it work, I think subconsciously every night, you know, it's not his fault, but he wasn't Dave.
Right.
So I think we gave him a harder time just about not being Dave, you know, than we probably should have. But he was no angel either.
Yeah.
You know,
he didn't help the situation.
He was a handful.
Yeah.
So it was both sides really.
Yeah. He's a strong voice. The songs are great.
Yeah.
Great record.
Yeah.
But yes, it's a personality thing. I mean, we're all, you know, we're on stage, we're performing together. You know?
And that was a pretty small window for your band looking back at it now. I mean, that whole cycle with him was, that was pretty quick.
Yeah, that was pretty quick.
Yeah. And then you kind of turn your attention now and then you're going to get another lead singer. Mm-hmm. And at some point, because I remember it made the headlines back in the day, which was ridiculous because I remember... I think I was working here by that point. So I've already met you guys by that point. I saw how great dude you were. But the headlines were starting to run like, well, is the band Drowning Pool the problem? Is it not the singers? It's like, dude, come on. Why are we creating this narrative all of a sudden?
Yeah, the band's the problem.
It's always the band's fault.
Yeah.
I know. You know, I was thinking of it. When I was getting this interview going, I was like, you guys have a fine balance of unfortunate and fortunate events. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like things just kind of,
it is a giant roller coaster ride. But you go in, now you got to get another singer, and you end up with Ryan of Soil, who already had kind of a following on his own, another great voice. An artist in his own, and it was like, okay, here we go again, right? That whole cycle going all over again.
Right. Getting started with Ryan was easier. Well, the beginning was easier because we were already friends. We already knew him.
Sure.
It didn't end any better, but at least the start was easier.
Yeah. It was a full circle was that first record album. Let's go into your track. Obviously, everyone knows this one, 37, Stitches, CJ, Stevie Jason, we will be getting to you. Fear not, man.
Your next day.
A whole rap sheet on YouTube.
I'm going to take that.
That coming up, Drowning Pool in studio, 37 Stitches right here at Kilo. Drowning Pool, 37 Stitches, rock show tonight. Friday night, kicking off this half of the tour. You said you kicked off the other half on a Monday? Yeah.
On a Monday.
Is that kind of...
It's like, yeah.
What are we doing here?
Monday.
Yay. Rock show so on a
so people
Monday.
Showed up, more people than I thought, but I mean, it's Monday.
Well, the rock crowd is its own, though.
Yeah,
you know, Monday, most to rock crowd, Monday is, you know, it's all one and the same, I guess.
Monday is the new Saturday.
Monday is the new Saturday. Stoked to have Drowning Pool back with us. 37 Stitches was one of the bigger songs you guys had in the Ryan McCombs era as he was with you guys for two records, right? Did that kind of bring life back into the band? I mean, having Ryan back with you and two solid records at that. I mean, those records were great.
Yeah, Ryan came in strong. You know, that's a strong, unique voice. And, just going on that second record and that second touring cycle, you know, he just
things just kind of
doing
went their way.
Else.
Yeah.
And it was a tough slit, in a sense, like, and just to see him, you know, somebody that's just such a great voice kind of trailed down. I guess he was having some personal stuff going on in his life that was kind of taking over.
Yeah.
Everything. But we're all, you know, we're all friends and stuff. I haven't seen him in a while, but obviously he's still doing stuff with Soil.
Yeah. Talk about those records as a whole and kind of what they did for you guys, getting you back out on the road and kind of going, kind of it brought back more to the Drowning Pool name.
Yeah, the second one we did was the first time we worked with Kato, right? Kato Kamala.
Yes.
That's when I did the second one. That was awesome working with Kato. We also did with Jason as well. He was just an amazing producer, very meticulous, and it was fun to take the songs and have him really go over every little part. And we'd take a song and like spend a whole day, 15 hours on it, just going, you know, let's try this. Just take every path you can take. And sometimes you come back to what you had already, and sometimes I would take you to another part that you wouldn't have thought about doing. So that was it was a fun experience.
Yeah, with the success we had with 37 and then Feel Like I Do, you know, things were happening pretty good. We got to do Crew Fest.
I remember seeing you on that.
Crewfest.
Which was a wild time.
Stupor.
It was kind of like reliving the heyday of 80s metal, hair metal. You know, we had a great time. You know, Tommy Lee had his party tent after every show. So we'd go there and just witness the debauchery. So it was a lot of fun.
Dude, I know. What a summer thing. What a bad idea, but a great idea at the same time. Like a whole Motley Crue summer tour. You, in terms of like that area, I know they just tried it this last summer.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was a lot more reserved in some parts than it was back in the day there.
Yeah.
I think Crue was kind of like full tilt, like want to get it out of their system that summer.
Yeah, they were hitting pretty hard. So Tommy Lee was partying way hard. I had to escape him a few times. I'm like, bro.
I can't.
You're 10 years older than me. I can't handle this.
I can't keep up on this. Love it. All right. Hey, Jason, we turn our attention to you now.
Jason.
You're the man of the hour all of a sudden.
Fantastic.
talk about kind of, as obviously you've been sitting here listening to all this as well, I'm sure you have kind of the same stories I would have. We're about the same age as well. To whereas the guys at Drowning Pool, they were a local band for you out of Texas, right? I mean, that's kind of how you knew them, right?
That's exactly how.
Yeah.
And
you just, I mean, is it one of those things you had no idea that one day you'd be a front man?
I mean, if you're being honest, we were all rivals. We were in a small scene. It was a great scene.
Yeah.
Deep Ellum, Texas. Back then, you could be in a local band.
Sure.
And sell out clubs on multiple corners.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we were on, I mean, we'd play shows together, but we were always trying to one-up each other.
Yeah, it was all about getting butts in the door, right? I mean, that's kind of what it is at that point.
There was nothing like watching Dave with John and Pullman.
Sure.
Kick the hell out of us.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
I was so mad.
Yeah.
So mad.
I'll get them one day.
Like, I watched them. I was happy for them at the same time. I was so jealous. You know, so jealous. So, it's been wild to watch them. Then all of a sudden, I try out, and I never thought I would get it. You know, Steve gave me a heads up because he used to manage my local band back home. He was trying to help us out. And, you know, where I sold merch and stuff, or CJ and the band. You know, one of the first tours I ever did was opening up for Drowning Pool. So it's always been, man, I've always been there.
Yeah, right.
But when I tried out, I never thought I'd get it because, as you know, back to Stevie's point from earlier, Ryan had such a, you know, iconic voice and he had established himself within the band and they were doing really well with him. And, you know, it was like a shot in the dark and holy hell, I got it.
Yeah.
And man, it's crazy. I wasn't ready.
It's like you just woke up in this moment. You're here.
It's interesting that, you know, three records in now, you can hear the evolution of the band.
Absolutely.
How much I've learned.
I agree. Let's get to the first track, not to cut you off, but One Finger and a Fist, which is a great track off that that lead record that you guys ended up coming with. Did you guys, was there a decision to go maybe in the local scene as opposed to, I'm sure there was a whole line of, you know, would-be future frontmen that would love to step into the spot for this band, right?
For me, it happened pretty fast. I didn't know Jason was trying out, and then his label had sent that over.
Surprise!
I was like, surprise! Like, surprise! Like, who's that saying? That voice sounds pretty good. That's Jason.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a big part of the decision was we after what we'd been through with Gong and then Ryan, we decided we wanted someone that lived near us, that we knew already, that we could be around and hang around all the time. So, you know, Jay was the best guy in Dallas.
And well, here he is. Let's play a track off Resilience, that first record with Jason Moreno. It is One Finger and a Fist right here at Kilo.
One finger and a fist!
Resilience, that's the record. Drowning Pool, One Finger and a Fist. Jason, talk up. You said you had a lot of fun with this record, but I think, and kind of looking back at that time when, you know, obviously, hey, Drowning Pool's got this new singer, brand new record coming out. I remember hearing the material for the first time and How can I kind of explain this without sounding like an idiot?
Be brutally honest.
But no, it sounded it sounded a lot more raw, like you guys were in the past. It felt like, nothing against Ryan and the material you had with Ryan, because it was great. But I mean, look, it was very much Ryan McCombs from another band is now in Drowning Pool, right? He kind of had his own sound, his own following. Great records in that. But it kind of, to me personally, felt like you guys were back to that raw, early feel that, that Drowning Pool kind of had. Does that make any sense at all? Did I just make any sense?
Makes total sense. Makes sense. I mean...
Thank you.
We're cutting our teeth on the same stages at the same time. So
sure.
It's, it makes perfect sense that it would harken back.
Yeah. Talk about that solo there, CJ. You said you that solo in one finger and a fist.
I thought I was going to track the next day, and I thought there were these basses on that day, and I got completely wasted, passed out outside the studio on the sidewalk, and they wake me up. Hey, man, you got to come in and track now. Like, all right, let's do it. The guitar, right, go for it.
And then, so were you intimidated at all coming into this?
No,
yeah.
I mean, like I said, it's not as if I didn't want the gig. I just I didn't think I would get the gig.
Yeah.
Then I got the gig, and then it all began to sink in.
We gotta do this
because you know that's a world renowned band,
yeah,
and
sure.
one of the first shows that I had with Drowning Pool was this gigantic festival with a sea of people as far as the eye can see, with Motley Crue on the bill and Tesla and all these guys that I came up listening to, and you know maybe you could wish for that and be ready for that, but personally, I had no clue, man. I was outside of myself. This is the strangest experience, man.
I'm safe to say, probably life changing for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that an understatement there, Jason? Is that an understatement?
Be careful what you wish for. You better make damn sure you ready for what.
Love it. More tracks with them. Stay Put is, of course, get your tickets now, though. Friday Night Rock Show, first night of the tour. More with Drowning Pool. We'll get to that. Drowning Pool, Strike a Nerve, Rock Station 94.3 Kilo. Tonight, Drowning Pool in town. Actually, well, let's narrow that down a little bit. CJ, Stevie, and Jason in the Kilo studio. They've been kind enough to hang out with us for the last hour. You said this record, Strike a Nerve, out and available now. Been out for a couple weeks now, right?
Yep.
You said it's already old to you because you recorded it 2019 or you had it basically done in 2019 and the world kind of went sideways.
Derailed the whole plan, dude. It was wild.
Do you overthink things like that or you just kind of, did you leave it be? Or were you let's go back and just almost redo it to a point?
No, it's great going back and listen to it.
I mean, in terms of like, did you go back and rework it at all?
No.
You just kind of.
I had some thoughts about it.
Yeah.
Some things I wanted to change, but. You know, after thinking further about it, I was like, man, I'm freaking nitpicking.
Yeah.
You know, you get to a point where you're just thinking of different ideas, not necessarily better ideas for songs.
So sure.
I was like, never mind.
Best just kind of leave it be. Jason, you said, I loved how you touched on like the evolution of the band, not just in its entirety, but since your time too. Sure. Talk a little bit about that evolution and how you've kind of seen this band kind of grow in the years you've been in it.
Well, I mean, it's difficult to put into words.
Sure.
I think, and I don't want to say it was like starting over, but it felt that way. You know, I think that the label we were on at the time when Ryan exited and I came in, they didn't really know what they had. Because, you know, as you say, it was like hearkening back to the old sound.
Which
I don't know if that was intentional. You'd have to ask the guys about that.
Yeah.
I was so spracked out. I was just...
in the moment, man.
Yeah, man. And even now, even looking back, it's still like a blur to me.
Sure.
You know, so it's only when I go back and listen to, you know, the records and I can hear. And even though I was there, you know, I missed the whole thing. So that's how I gauge it. It's like, oh, man, listen to that. And, I think we're tighter now than we've ever been.
Absolutely.
I've learned... You know, personally, as a singer, oh, man, I've learned so much singing all those guys' songs every night.
I bet.
It's made me a much better singer, and then I learned a lot from working a live crowd from Mike. So, you know, maybe it's not as apparent to the listener
for
evolution, but for me, it's like a straight-up reminder, like, that was you back then.
Yeah, it's almost like this time.
This is you now.
Yeah, it's like this time capsule of material that you can kind of go back
on. That's what I'm trying to say.
Strike a Nerve, this is, it's the future of Drowning Pool. Yeah, you guys feel good?
Yeah, obviously, I feel great about it.
Coming out of the COVID time and all that, you guys seem like you're firing all cylinders now.
Yeah, we finally got it out, man. We worked really hard on this one. We spent a lot of time on this record, more so than anything. I'm happy with it. It was nice to, but, you know, you don't have the option of, you know, the opportunity to put it away
for sure.
3 years and come back to it.
Yeah.
So like, oh, instead of going, for me, it's like, oh, hey, we did that. Oh, that part too. Versus like, you know, wanted to change it or
yeah.
come back. Because I know, I mean, I think it's natural for a lot of musicians. I think it was like that on other records. After they come out, like, man, I probably could have did this better.
But
I don't feel like this on this one. It's the first time ever.
One of the weirdest things was we did put it away for so long, and then, you know, COVID's over, and you're getting ready to put the record out, getting ready to tour, and we get back together to rehearse, and I had no idea how to play a single song on the entire freaking record. Yeah. It's like, man, it's all gone. It's all out of the brain.
What is this?
We got to start from scratch and relearn it.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I sat around the house stuff. And listened to us all day long. 24 hours a day, 7 days, for 3 years straight.
Just
to... I was like, oh, yeah. But yeah, it was fun to get back in the room and like, you know, like, oh, yeah, we did this. We did these parts and kind of read or just brush up on it. And we played like 5 new songs a night now because they're slamming and they're working great live. We started playing them live before the record came out a few months ago and the reaction was great.
Yeah. It's a great record. Strike a Nerve, available now from Drowning Pool here. A lot off of that here tonight. And thank you guys so much for coming in, man.
Dude,
being open to this idea of just kind of sitting put for an hour and opening up a little bit. What's the rest of the year? You guys are going to wrap up this leg, I'm sure. Take a break for the holidays. I'm assuming 2023 going to be full tilt.
That should be our year, man.
Yeah.
Let's get it going.
Any plans that you can talk about?
There's a lot of plans in the works. We just need to nail the plan down. But there are a lot of plans.
That's the thing, too, with a year, everyone's trying to play catch up now, right? With missing a year in terms of the music industry, you guys kind of snugged up against that, too? Like, man, everyone wants to tour right now. Kind of a struggle.
It's like there's a handful of records coming out at the same time as us. Like,
yeah.
We should pop on with. Slipknot just came out of the record as well.
Yeah, I think Disturbed's
got one.
Yeah.
We should all just get together and tour.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Biggest all bands ever. Biggest tour ever. Drowning Pool headlining. The biggest tour ever.
No, what am I going on in the middle, man? Then I can get my Yoo-Hoo and Jaeger on.
CJ, Stevie, Jason, thank you guys so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Kilo Vault podcast, our sit-down and conversation with CJ, Stevie, and Jason of Drowning Pool. Check out their latest record, Strike a Nerve. You get another opportunity to see these guys live. I caught the show that night. They're firing on all cylinders. Must catch live act, the guys of Drowning Pool. And got to thank them for coming to the Kilo studio, sitting with us for an hour. Thanks for checking it out. If you like what we do, give us a rating, subscribe, tell your friends. Of course, drop us a line anytime. Maybe you got a Drowning Pool story. Send that over, the vault at kilo943.com.